Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. 1 Peter 2:16. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves to God. 1 Peter 2:16. And will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. The subject for our service now is forget the past and move on. You'll see the reason for that subject title as we move through our study today. Jonah chapter 3. There are 10 verses in this chapter, and we're going to read all 10 verses after we have our moment of prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You've given us this magnificent book. We're thankful for it. We thank you for the inspired Scripture. We're thankful that you've made it possible for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will help us in these moments now, that we may be able to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon these 10 verses of Jonah chapter 3. Thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. Both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Verse 9. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. When God saw their deeds, verse 10, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. By way of introduction, I need to tell you that when you move on out of the book of Jonah and go through the book of Micah and get into the book of Nahum, you're going to find then that this is 150 years later. And these people that you're seeing described for us now in this third chapter of Jonah and the fourth chapter of Jonah, you will discover that those people, many of them died, of course, and the generations come and go. And 150 years later, we're going to be finding in the book of Nahum some interesting things about the condition of the city of Nineveh at that time. Today, I'm not going to get into that other than just to give you that little preview. But when you look at Jonah chapter 3, we need to remember that the subject should be forget the past and move on. Forget the past and move on. I probably need to say that about 7 times for you to be able to remember when this message is over and we go on our way and have this great celebration this afternoon. We need to realize that there are things that take place in your life and mine when we get ourselves in the wrong place, out of harmony with God, and we get right with God. Then at that point, we need to forget the past and move on. In other words, we're not to be saturated with guilt We need to get rid of it. And a lot of people, and I've discovered this over these 60 some odd years of preaching, a lot of people come to me and they're saying, in essence, I've done wrong and I'm still sorrowful for what I've done wrong. And I say, well, when did you do that wrong? And it would be 20 or 30 years ago. My feeling is, I need to tell you this, that if you've made some mistakes, and who hasn't, then admit that, get it over with, forget the past, and move on. Now, if I stop right here and we all went home, you can remember that. It would be worth your while. But I'm not through. Jonah chapter 1 versus Jonah chapter 3 verses 1 through 5, we find that the mission now for Jonah is renewed. We're able to see that a bad mistake does not keep you from serving God. I'm going to stop and let you think about what I've just said. A bad mistake does not keep you from serving God. In other words, get over it. Get it confessed. Get it forgiven. Forget the past. Move on. This chapter includes, number one, Jonah's mission renewed. The command is given a second time, if you'll notice that in verse 1, for Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. I'm not going to take the time to reread all these verses, but let me encourage you to take a good look at the verses of chapter 3. Number 2, the message was faithfully delivered and overthrow threatened, which is presented to us in the verses we've already read, verses 3 and 4. When you get into verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, you'll discover that there's repentance there, humiliation, reform of the people of Nineveh. All I'm trying to do is to paint a picture for you to be able to see what took place when this man who was away from God, going down, 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 got up after being spat up on the shore. He went in with determination to do what God wanted him to do, and that is communicate. Repentance, humiliation, reformation of the people came as a result, presented to us in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. What I find when I get to the last verse of the third chapter, and that is God's gracious attitude. You and I must always realize that God's attitude toward the repentant sinner is beautiful and magnificent. Now, by way of review, in chapter 3, verse 1, we have here further evidence of reconciliation. Jonah's commission is renewed, and now he's ready to obey God's plan, which needs to remind us again to say what I said a few seconds ago. A bad mistake did not eliminate Jonah from ever serving. This is something that all of us need to know. And that is, when we make mistakes, and all of us make mistakes, we need to get rid of that. We need to let God forgive us of that and realize that that does not eliminate us from serving God. When God forgives, forget the past and move on. In other words, what we're emphasizing here, you can see it in lower letters here, repentance and forgiveness. I want you to realize how fantastic it is to be forgiven. When you know in your heart that you've been forgiven, your sins have been cleansed, and you're in harmony and right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not anything more wonderful than that. A bad mistake did not eliminate Jonah from ever serving. When God forgives, forget the past. Move on. Repentance and forgiveness. The Lord has patience. The Lord spoke to Jonah again. Jonah had deserted his work. Jonah had deserted his duty, sentenced, released, and given liberty and another opportunity. Oh, I need to just stop for a moment and tell you how fantastic it is to know in your heart that you've been forgiven, and God is now setting you up to move on and forgetting the past, moving on to do what God wants you to do. He was released. He was given liberty. He was given another opportunity. Can God really have confidence in Jonah now? After his disobedience, when God continues to use Jonah, it is a sure sign that peace exists between the two. Could I remind you of what I've just said? It is wonderful to know that there's peace between you and God. When I go to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. Now without murmuring, now without disputing, Jonah gets up. Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh. The scripture says, according to the word. Number one, Jonah had a change of mind. When a person has a change of mind, they will have a different direction in life. When a person has a change of mind, they will have a different direction in life. What he once had come to a point to despise, he now loves. What he had rejected, he now accepts. What he did not want, he now desires. Jonah could have said with what David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Oh, do you see it? Do you see it? What David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I need to say this about 10 times. Because you're not going to get it unless you really see what David is saying. Before affliction came my way, I was going astray and continued to go astray before affliction came. But now have I kept thy word. Number two, can you see how a preacher wants to preach? Can you see the preacher could come out right there? And here I'm not doing it because I'm trying to make my way through the third chapter so that Wednesday night we can do chapter 4 and next Sunday go to Micah and then go to Nahum. Power B, let's go. Jonah number 2. Jonah was benefited by his change of mind. Jonah was benefited by his change of mind. Well, I want to ask a question. How was he benefited? There was peace and satisfaction within him. There was joy and contentment. There was confidence and excitement in doing God's will. You ought to write those three things down, because when you get out of the will of God and you're on the wrong track and you get back right with God, here's what you're going to find. Peace, satisfaction, joy, contentment, confidence, excitement in doing God's will. Can I give you a few minutes to write that down? Oh, you need to have it down, because when you get right with God, there's going to be peace and satisfaction. There's going to be joy and contentment. There's going to be confidence and excitement in doing the will of God. Number three, Jonah saw the power of divine grace in his mind. Now, I don't know why that word mind got off track there. Maybe it was because my mind was off track when I was typing all this. But anyway, it's there for you to see. Jonah saw the power of divine grace when he changed his mind. What we discover is that Jonah is now sent to Nineveh, which was at this time the chief city of the Gentile world, as an indication of God's gracious intentions in process of time to make the light of divine revelation to shine in those dark regions. Jonah is sent to Nineveh to do what? To preach what was first ordered back there in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The preaching that I did bid thee when I first sent you. Jonah is sent to denounce divine judgments against Nineveh, to tell the men of Nineveh that their wickedness had come up to the very rim of God and that God's vengeance was coming down upon them. Now, is that a very pleasant message for Jonah to preach? No. You know now why he decided he didn't want to go there. First of all, he didn't like the people. He didn't want to go preach to them. So he decided he'd go away, running away from the will of God. Now, I've never had that experience. In other words, I've never found a congregation, you, for 41 years, that I didn't love and want to preach to. But I want you to know that Jonah didn't want to go there. He did not want to do it. Please notice that even though Jonah had refused to take this message at first, the message itself had not been altered. The message had not been altered. God wanted Jonah to go with a message, and the message was the same whether he wanted to go and preach it or not. That's the way it should be for us as preachers to understand that God's message is not altered. Whether we want to do it or not, it's God's word, and we have the responsibility of studying it and giving it. The message is still the same. God made no change in the message for the communicator or even for the receivers. The word of God is impossible to alter. The word of God is impossible to change. The word of God is impossible to modify and will not be made to bend to the rumors of its preachers or even its hearers. That's the reason why the preacher doesn't need to listen to what the congregation is saying about what should and should not be preached. In other words, if God can't do a good job with the preacher, I promise you God will take care of the preacher in his own way. And I fear being taken care of in that manner. Do you understand what I've just said? My responsibility is to study and pray throughout the week and make preparation and come here and tell you what God's Word says. Not what I think, what God's Word says. It's immutable. It's inflexible. It's rigid. Jeremiah 15:19 says, "Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." God told Jonah that the specifics of the message he would give him in detail, which gave encouragement to Jonah that God would be there to support him in a rather hazardous exposition. When God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, he said a similar thing. Offer him on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Which really means that the steps of a God-fearing person are ordered by the Lord. You see what is being said here? Jonah must go without hesitation. Jonah must go trusting. This demands implicit faith. Jonah must go knowing that he will have to depend totally upon the master's direction. That's what we find in chapter 3, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, notice, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. 3 days' journey in breadth. Described as larger than Babylon. Now, I don't know whether you're interested in this, but Titorius Cilicius tells us that there was never a city like Nineveh. When I came across those words, D-I-O-D-O-R-U-S, S-I-C-U-L-U-S, what do you think I would do? I would go to see what I could find. And I found out that this fellow, Didorius, is a Greek historian. And he's known for writing the monumental universal history between 60 and 30 B.C. All you need to do is remember that it's between 60 and 30 B.C. I won't go into all the details because I just want you to be able to see that the city has been described as 150 furlongs long, 90 furlongs broad, 480 furlongs in compass, 100 feet high walls, and so thick that three chariots might go abreast upon them. All I'm trying to do is give you a little bit of a historical background of Nineveh. It's not all that important, but you get a mental picture. 100 towers, each of them 200 feet high, 480 furlongs, 60 miles, 8 furlongs to a mile, 60 miles. If a person on foot made 20 miles a day, it would take 3 days to walk around the city. That's all I'm going to tell you about that, because I thought it was very interesting. To go through all the principal streets and the lanes, proclaiming the message of God's plan, would take days. When I go to Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, I read, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. So that just meant that he had some more travels, didn't he? And what did he say? He cried out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I don't know whether you've gotten this picture or not, but I want you to see this guy who is going one step at a time, proclaiming God's message. Number one, when Jonah arrived, he wasted no time. Number two, he did not look for the nearest hotel. He did not look for the nearest motel to refresh himself. But he opened his commission immediately. Number three, Jonah had been instructed. He followed those instructions. Number four, there is an urgency from God, and therefore must be an urgency in Jonah's message. A man who has the responsibility of communicating God's word, as I do to people whom I love so dearly, it's an urgency. It's a message that's important. And so Jonah realized he had messed up. He had gone in the wrong direction too long. And now he realizes that his instructions are to be followed. Number four, there's an urgency from God, and therefore there must be an urgency in his message. Number five, he must tell them that this great city shall be overthrown by an immediate stroke from heaven, either by means of an earthquake or by fire and brimstone, as Sodom and Gomorrah had been. Not by war, but by an earthquake or fire and brimstone. Number six, he must tell them that this will take place soon. Wickedness ripens for destruction. Wealth and greatness cannot prevent or protect. Number seven, a 40-day reprieve is granted, an expression of God's grace. It's time to repent, space to repent. 40 days is a long time for a righteous God to defer his judgments, yet a brief time for unrighteous people so prone to procrastination. Putting off action, delay at this juncture, is very dangerous. Look at verse 5. What does it say? Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 says, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them." I'm going rapidly, but I want you to be able to see what's going on here. This is a wonder of divine grace. When I go to Matthew 12:41, it reveals that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. In Matthew, we have the obstinacy of Israel compared to the submission of Nineveh. Jonah preached but one sermon, but with Israel, the men of God reasoned with them, and they were so obstinate. We see here the people accepted the word from the communicator. They accepted God as sovereign, and to Him they were accountable. All I'm trying to do is to let you see again that what we find in this magnificent book is an emphasis upon Jesus. Because when you go to the New Testament, you'll see that it's talking about as it was in the days of Jonah, so shall it be in the time of our Lord. Quickly, you're listening rapidly. Let me speak rapidly. Jonah principles, this chapter. Number one, when God forgives, you and I have the responsibility to forget the past and move on. I'll give you time to take these principles because I won't travel this way again. When God forgives, forget the past and move on. Number two, when we have a change of mind, as I've already said this morning, we're going to have a change of direction. Don't tell me that you can live the same when you get right with God. If you stay right with God, don't tell me that you won't have a change of direction. Do I need to repeat what I just said? When God makes a change in your life and mine, we're changed. And we need to make a decision from that point on that we will not go back into our areas of disobedience, which we've just asked God to forgive us of. Now, I know I'm not supposed to end a sentence with a preparation, but I've just done it. I love it. I love to preach even when I end sentences with prepositions. When God makes no change in His message, the communicator or the receiver, there's to be no change in the message. Let me go back to number two. When we have a change of mind, when our hearts are made right with God, we're going to also have a change of direction. Number four, the people of Nineveh believed God, the passage there says, accepting the message of the messenger. Oh, look at it. Number five, the greatness of the king was not when he was sitting on the throne, but when he was sitting in ashes. Did you see that? What takes place is God is moving. And things are moving in the hearts and minds of individuals. The person who is the top of the totem pole, the king, all the way to the various stages of life. When the greatness of the king, it was not in sitting on the throne. It was sitting in the ashes. Sitting in the ashes is better to be in sackcloth, right with God, than linen and silk and not be right with God. Do you see those last statements in number five? The greatness of the king was not when he was sitting on the throne, but when he was sitting in ashes. It is better to be in sackcloth right than in linen or silk wrong. Chapter 3, verse 6. Out of all the congregations I've ever known, you have to understand that you're the congregation I've known a long time. I wouldn't trade you for the world. I'm thankful for you and your willingness to be true and faithful to study God's Word with us day by day, week by week, month by month, completing 41 years, beginning 42. Isn't it wonderful how good God has been to all of us? His grace is sufficient for all of us as believers. And His grace is sufficient for those who yet have not accepted Him. I'm so happy to know that the message that comes from this pulpit is going out. And I don't know where all it's going around this world. But we are aware of the fact each week that people from various places throughout the United States of America and around the world hear this voice. And what I want to say to you, that this voice now wants to proclaim to you that God loves you and Christ died for you. And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you could do it now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I can tell you that. I'm glad that I can tell you at this very moment, wherever you are, your situation, God knows all about it. You're not hiding from Him. And if you will admit the fact that you're a sinner and that you want to be saved, and you ask Him to save you upon the authority of God's Word, I can tell you, you can be saved. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just might be saved. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd be saved if you got baptized. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll join the church, and you'll be saved. No. What does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The object of faith is the person of Jesus Christ. You accept Him, He will accept you. Do that now, will you please? May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the wonderful truth of Your Word. We're thankful for this book, the inspired Word of God. We're thankful that we're challenged by it every single day. And especially right now, we pray that there will be those who will trust You. By faith alone in Christ alone, we realize is the way of hope. We pray that there will be people who will trust You now. In Jesus' name, amen.